to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday morning. Good Friday. Hope everybody's doing well ahead of this Easter weekend. We got, of course, a ton of big news to get to. Almost all of it having to do with Iran. And trust me, it's not by choice. It's just there's a lot going on with the generals being purged, multiple aircraft now being shot down by Iran in what appears to be a failed attempt to start the ground invasion. We'll bring you all of that news, as well as the political fallout from the generals being fired, Pam Bondi being fired, Theo Von going on Joe Rogan and being told he's crazy for saying the truth. Just a lot to cover. So let's get into it like we do every day with our Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 3rd of April, 2026. Three generals ousted as Pentagon shakes up war command. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has removed the Army's top general, along with two other senior officers, in a sweeping wartime shakeup, dramatically expanding a leadership purge inside the Pentagon as the Iran war intensifies. Hegseth asked the top officials to step down and take immediate retirement, as initially reported by multiple news outlets and confirmed to military.com by the Pentagon. The department said George will retire effective immediately. Defense officials also said the shakeup includes General David Hodney, who leads the Army's Training and Doctrine Command, and Major General William Green Jr., the Army's Chief of Chaplains. The removal of multiple senior officers marks one of the most significant wartime leadership shakeups during active U.S. combat operations in recent years. No official explanation has been publicly provided. So, of course, a lot of speculation about this. We'll bring it all to you, but the most common sentiment is this is probably because the generals didn't want to do a ground invasion of Iran, or perhaps use a nuclear weapon or some sort of other order that they were given that they vehemently disagreed with. That is speculation. It could very well be the other way around. So we'll get into what may have happened there. Meanwhile, Iran refuses to meet U.S. negotiators in Pakistan. Iran told mediators that it will not meet with the American officials in Islamabad, Pakistan, and has rejected U.S. demands. The Wall Street Journal reported Friday. The decision is the latest blow to President Donald Trump's efforts to broker an agreement to end the war, which began nearly 5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago today, I would say. Trump stated this week that Iran had asked for a ceasefire, though he may have referenced a public comment from Iranian President Pezeshkian expressing openness to a ceasefire in exchange for security guarantees. But of course, I mean, every couple of days, Trump says they're on the cusp of a ceasefire, on the cusp of an agreement, only to have Iran come out and say, nope, not even close. Actually, not even talking. So they were supposed to go meet in Pakistan. Iran did not want to meet in Pakistan. They wanted to meet in Qatar. This was a non-starter for them, and so they chose not to continue with the ceasefire talks, which, again, can't really blame them. We do keep killing everybody that we're supposed to be negotiating with, so I understand why they would want to take extra security precautions. This is, once again, the consequences of our own decisions. We have only ourselves to blame. Trump, meanwhile, requests $1.5 trillion for military spending. With the United States at war with Iran and embroiled in conflicts around the world, the White House asked Congress on Friday to approve about $1.5 trillion for defense in the 2026 fiscal year. If enacted, that amount would set military spending at the highest level in modern history. So no, we cannot do daycare. We cannot do welfare. We cannot even maintain the Social Security fund that we took your money your whole life in order to uphold. But we do have $1.5 trillion for waging a war overseas that, as of yet, has only hurt us and has only caused us pain, suffering, and higher prices. Finally, American fighter jet shot down over Iran. One crew member has been rescued. Another one is missing. There's news now that another aircraft has gone down. The A-10 Warthog has gone down, as well as a helicopter that was searching for the missing pilots. We'll cover that on the other side. Stay with us.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. And the- potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
With your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well on this Good Friday. Ahead of Easter weekend. We, of course, have a lot to talk about in terms of the Iran war. Some major developments happening over the last 24 hours. None of them good. All of them easily predictable. And we did predict it. It appears as though some sort of ground invasion probing force is at work on the coast of Iran. And they're being supported by a whole cadre of various aircraft. Reported yesterday that A-10 Warthogs were seen moving towards the Middle East. Those, of course, are infantry support aircraft. So that's what you use to clear the ground before the infantry goes in. That's what they're used for. That was a symbol, a sign that, yes, indeed, the ground invasion of Iran was imminent, and it appears to have gotten off to an absolutely terrible start. Also, of course, we'll get into the purging of the Pentagon and the generals being fired. This is from Limitless at Limitless Cobbs on X. It says, holy cow, catastrophic morning for the U.S. air campaign in Iran. An F-15E Strike Eagle was shot down over Koguliya province, wreckage confirmed by Warzone. Ejection seat found and photographed by Iranian civilians. A rescue helicopter was also reportedly shot down. Iranian state TV broadcasting a bounty for American pilots, promising a valuable reward for any Iranian who were to capture one of the downed pilots. Trump, 24 hours ago, said that Iran was eviscerated, that the war was essentially over, and certainly that their air defenses were no longer anything to be concerned about. The running total so far is 483, followed by about 100 zeros. Let's see if I can even figure out what number I'm looking at here. I think this is 4.8 billion. Yeah, 4.8 billion. All right. Sometimes, you know, when you're talking about trillions and hundreds of millions, it gets confusing sometimes. So, yeah, nearly $5 billion in assets destroyed, 25-plus aircraft, 6 F-15s down. Trump, just 24 hours ago, said, you know, bragging about eviscerating Iran and saying that the war is over. These would be the first American POWs of the entire war if the pilots were captured. Now, one has been rescued. One is still missing. And it is likely that he was captured because, of course, there are GPS locators on their uniforms and the ejection seats. And so if they cannot be found by the, you know, GPS coordinates, then it means they've been removed from their equipment. This person says, I just got off the phone with a former CENTCOM operations officer. What he told me made my stomach drop. When they deny the jet exists, but the wreckage is on camera, the next move is always the worst one. This is not a war winding down. This is a war that just produced hostages. And of course, I don't think I need to tell you this if you're a regular viewer. All of this was predictable. All of this was obvious. I saw a bunch of headlines yesterday saying, the Pentagon was shocked at the resilience of Iran. They did not expect such a resistance. And I just want to say again, how did we know? How is it that the Pentagon didn't know, but we did? That doesn't make any sense. No, they knew. Of course they knew. Maybe they didn't want to believe. Maybe they were so just controlled by hubris and self-importance. They thought it didn't matter what the facts on the ground were, but to pretend like nobody knew that this is what was going to happen is absolutely ridiculous. Obviously, it was never a good idea to do a ground invasion, and even just a tiny little, you know, whatever, Mission Impossible, Ocean's 11 heist to get the uranium always comes with the risk of those soldiers being captured, becoming POWs, forcing a rescue mission, which itself could get shot down, causing more problems. You know, it's like the old lady that swallowed the fly and had to swallow a spider and then a frog and then a cat and then a dog. It's like, yeah, this is the snowball effect, folks. If only Trump could do it himself. So it ain't going well, folks. It's not going well. We have supposed footage of this all happening, the fighter jet going down. We go to clip number 18 here. This purports to be the footage of the actual jet going down, I believe. We can go to this. So this was released by the Iranian media, claiming to show the F-15E being shot down above Iran. And once it crashed down, you had the search commence. And again, the search in and of itself was, you know, kind of odd. There's the ejection seats being deployed. The ejection seats, of course, have the parachutes and they have GPS trackers on them. But the pylons weren't there. So then we had to scan the ground with, you know, scanning equipment on helicopters. Now apparently a helicopter has been brought down. We can go to clip number 20. This is Iranian tribesmen using their rifles, their hunting rifles, to open fire on the U.S. rescue aircraft. We can go to clip number 20 now. You can bring the audio up a little bit. Some pretty dramatic gunshot noises and screaming of people. But yeah, there's lots of videos of these Iranian tribesmen just on their own shooting their rifles at the American Air Force. In this case, I think they're shooting at the helicopter, the search and rescue helicopter. So it doesn't seem like they're embracing us as liberators. You know, I saw somebody suggest maybe they can't find the pilots because the Iranian people are helping to hide them. No, they got their guns out and are shooting at them. Clip 29, I believe, is a similar video, although this may show, again, this purports to be, and again, there's so much AI and so much. The facts on the ground, as I'm reporting them, are confirmed. These videos, not necessarily each and every one of them has been confirmed, but there's a lot of AI out there, and I avoided a lot of it. But I believe this is, purports to be at least, a video of the Iranians perhaps capturing one of the pilots that was there. We can go to clip number 19 here. This is a report from ABC News about some of the new unexpected technology that Iran deployed in order to take down this extremely advanced fighter jet. Let's watch.
Colonel Ganier, what does this mean for U.S. jet strikes and other aerial missions moving forward?
That the skies are not as safe as they perhaps presumed. My guess is that this was daytime. My guess is that that the Iranians used what's called infrared. So they used detection that's passive, that used heat differences. The president did say that their radars rolled down, and so he probably can claim that legitimately. But the fact that there are still anti-aircraft kinds of capabilities that are based on heat temperature differences that can identify aircraft and still target aircraft is probably what got this F-15.
So once again, just the very fact that they can shoot down a jet shows that everything Trump said during his speech the day before yesterday can't have been true, is not true, obviously, because we don't control the airs. We don't control the airspace. We don't control and have not wiped out Iran's missile launching capability. Go to clip number 3 now. This is a prominent Iranian correspondent, I believe, talking about rumors of not just planes going down, but intense infantry clashes inside Iran. Let's watch.
Well, the state TV has said that Iran has downed an American fighter jet. They say it's F-35. Now, we cannot confirm that from our side. And that two U.S. pilots are missing inside Iranian territories. This took place towards the west of the country in the areas of Luristan, between the areas of Luristan. And now we're hearing that, according to information that's circulating here on Iranian media, that the U.S. is conducting search operations for pilots who fell in two areas, Kaghalu and Bur Ahmed, as well as in Bushehr. Airdrop operations have been carried out and intense clashes. So what the Iranians are saying is that there are intense clashes between this forces and Iranian ground forces from the Revolutionary Guards in the Dailam region, resulting in casualties among the invading forces. This is based on what the Iranians are saying. So
again, eminently predictable. Could not have gone more to the script, right? I mean, it's just exactly what we always expected. Going into Iran, knowing that we haven't taken out their missile defense, knowing that we don't actually control their airspace, but they lied and said that we did. We told you we didn't. Just, I mean, again, it's like, what is going on in the world where literally just like we know more about this stuff than the White House, apparently? Again, doesn't make any sense. It's a ridiculous thing to think that we would somehow have better information and know more than they're lying. They're lying to you. Do you understand? So we knew that their air defense was not destroyed. We knew that a ground invasion was imminent. We knew that once they tried to do a ground invasion, it would probably be something small, but that there would be casualties and likely POWs, and that would necessitate a rescue operation, which itself would be targeted and could quickly spiral out into a wider conflict. This is a script that we laid out as soon as this conflict started, and they're following it to a T. You should really ask yourself why. Now let's go to clip number four here. This is a retired U.S. general admitting the terrifying truth about the Strait of Hormuz. Let's watch. Clip number four, sorry.
Wall Street Journal writes in one of the editorials today, the only reason why Iran is surviving this war is because of the Strait of Hormuz. The Iranian thinking is, at the end, the Strait must remain under the control because it's their only deterrence. I guess you kind of agree with that. So what do we do about it?
Well, there's a thought that once we stop operations with all assigned objectives, we're going to go to our own self-imposed ceasefire, that Iran will eventually open up the straits. That is likely. They will likely at some point open it up. But the reality is they're in control, and we cannot let that stand. That is the issue. Not that they would open it up. It's the fact that they are in control. And that would be a strategic victory for them, because then they're impacting our allies and partners in the region. They're controlling when do they shut it down. They could shut it down again and interfere with things when things aren't exactly going their way. That cannot happen, in my view. What we have to do is open it up ourselves, and we have the capability to do that. There are well-thought-out plans to do that.
So you've seen these plans?
I understand in general sense what it is. And those plans, the people in charge of them have a lot of confidence in doing it because they play war games and like to do this sort of thing. We think we can absolutely accomplish that mission. And then at some point, we would pass it to allies and partners for them to continue to do it. We may have to give them a couple of assets that we have that uniquely that they may not have. But nonetheless, this is a very doable, and we certainly cannot leave Iran in control where they shut that down and open it up at will. That would change the Middle East and give them huge amount of influence. And that would be staggering after almost 2 months of taking all their offensive capability away from them and leave them as a huge geopolitical advantage, which that gives them.
So that's like worst case scenario. I mean, as of right now, without some major change, and it looks like the attempts to do something are being intercepted and prevented, the only, like, the ultimate upshot outcome of this war will have been that we surrendered the Strait of Hormuz to Iran. That's what he's talking about right there. That basically that is a very viable outcome at this point. Without getting into like total World War III, which we'll probably choose to do anyway. But I want you to understand just how, yeah, Trump administration underestimated Iran's impact on Strait of Hormuz. Just like, but how though? That's like, if that's true, they should all be fired. That's the thing. If they actually didn't know this was going to happen, they should all be probably not just fired, but, you know, tarred and feathered while we're at it, because you'd have to be an idiot. You'd have to be an absolute idiot not to know exactly how this would go. And it's easy to say that after the fact, but we said it before the fact, which is why it's important that InfoWars be on the air to be here so we can tell you, hey, here's what's really going to happen. Here's the reality of the, you know, situation on the ground. So then later when they come out and go, oh, gee, we couldn't have expected this, you can point back to our shows where we predicted exactly how it would happen as proof that they're lying. You understand? I want you to understand how badly this is going right now. We've got stories from The Intercept claiming that the casualty figures that we've been given here in America are significantly undercounting the real number of injured and dead American soldiers. We are in less of a secure place than we were at the start of this war. Iran is more in control of the Strait of Hormuz than they were at the start of the war. Of course, our off-ramps are routinely obliterated, destroyed, deconstructed by Israel when they kill the people that we are hoping to work with. But like, it's almost too much to think about it a single time, how many different ways this has gone bad. It's like hard to even explain, but I want to go to clip number 10 here. Because when you think about the fact we're 5 weeks into this war, as of tonight, we've lost men, we've lost billions and billions of dollars of very expensive and hard to replace equipment. The energy shocks around the world are going to continue for a long time. The fertilizer shocks we haven't even started to feel yet, but will be devastating. There's like geopolitical realignment that is all opposed to our, you know, benefits and priorities. India just bought oil from Iran for the first time ever because of what's happening. So we now have our allies buying oil from our enemies as a consequence of our action, kind of like exactly what happened between Russia and China. I mean, it goes on and on, right? We're still in it. We're still not, like, we're still apparently gearing up for a ground invasion. In fact, I don't know, did you guys censor the video of the soldier talking about deploying? Let's go to clip number 9 here, just because this is, you know, it's still American young men, the best and brightest, most patriotic of us are being sent probably to die in this, you know, godforsaken debacle. Well, here's one of them. Let's watch.
Well, guys, we just got emergency orders. I guess I'm going to Iran. So that's a thing. I guess they're canceling the whole training rotation so that they can emergency send our asses to go fight in the war. Nice knowing you guys. It's your dude, Jordo.
So there you go. Not exactly thrilled about it, but he knows what's coming. But all this is to say, this was so unnecessary. There was no imminent threat, as confirmed by everybody who's not Trump lying, Pete Hegseth lying, Marco Rubio lying. They told us themselves that the imminent threat was from Israel attacking Iran, knowing that Iran would counterattack, but apparently not understanding how big the counterattack would be. So again, doesn't make a lot of sense. We had no reason to go to war with Iran. We were negotiating with Iran. The people even that we were working with ostensibly to take over Iran after we kill all of their leadership were then killed by Israel. And it turns out what's been revealed today, clip number 10 from David Rode, was that Iran was actually willing to make gigantic concessions and had told Trump's negotiators, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, that they're willing to surrender all of their enriched uranium in exchange for security guarantees, meaning that this entire war was essentially solved, could have been totally avoided if we had just stuck with the diplomacy that was having tangible success. Instead, we killed everybody we were negotiating with and are now in this absolute quagmire with everything going bad. But let's watch this reveal earlier today of what the Iranians had offered to the Americans for the during the last meeting 5 weeks ago, right before we bombed a bunch of their children. Let's watch.
Iran offered to give away all of its enriched uranium during the peace talks. And hours later, the U.S. started dropping bombs. And The Guardian broke yesterday that there were British officials, the British National Security Advisor was present in Geneva during that last round of talks. The British were surprised by the Iranian offer. They thought it was credible. They thought the talks should continue. And the British were shocked when the Trump administration started bombing Iran hours later.
So that just shows you how pointless this war is to this day. Totally unnecessary. We could have gotten everything that we wanted. Now we apparently have an American POW missing somewhere in Iran, invasion rescue force being staged to try to go in and save them, meaning that this snowball is really starting to roll down the hill, and it's only going to get worse as this feedback loop really gets into motion. Totally avoidable from not just the beginning, but from before the beginning. This was never even remotely necessary, never even... I just can't believe it. I just cannot believe how deliberate all of this is. Nothing has forced our hand on any of this except for Israel, right? Iran wasn't threatening to attack us. Did not have plans to attack us. We're in the middle of negotiating, and we're willing to give us everything that we wanted that apparently this war was focused on, right? So we start the war 5 weeks ago with this checklist of things that we want to achieve. The primary one, the main one, that all the other ones are in service of is getting rid of their enriched uranium, right? That's the main goal. You got to get rid of their Navy. You got to get rid of their missile launchers. But all that is just because you want to get that uranium. Now, in the 5 weeks since we announced this goal of getting their uranium and destroying their nuclear program, it's changed. Now our goal is to simply mitigate the effects of the war by opening the Strait of Hormuz. Seems like we're not even really trying to open the Strait of Hormuz anymore. And so the actual goal of the war in the first place that could have been achieved through diplomacy, we had the offer on the table hours before we chose to start the war. Yet instead of even achieving that goal that was just right there, imminently available, ready to be picked up, we didn't do it through diplomacy, and now it's not even in the top three or four potential outcomes for this war that we're currently pursuing. Now it's gone back to, let's just try to undo the consequences of this war that we started by opening the Strait of Hormuz. And Trump came out 2 days ago saying, actually, we're not even trying to open the Strait of Hormuz. That's going to be on Europe. So again, I'm just trying to lay out from my memory, just like how many off ramps we could have had that have been deliberately ignored or destroyed, how pointless this entire conflict was in the first place, and how the negative consequences will unravel before us.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder, 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support, and you're being part of this operation, and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, and look at these two new amazing lines. Yeah, I know you're the big health care.
guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. Take Starting Meds Kick In. I've given this to 500 people. Only 3 people didn't feel it right away. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
Personally, I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. I was telling you, I've had a little bit of a cold for the past few days, under-rested. It felt like my brain was working at 50% capacity, just felt slow. And now, what's it been, a half hour or so, it feels like I'm back up to 80%. So yeah, that's my experience. Feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them.
You and me, honest, I know you will be. Because we're always trying to find a better methylene blue. If you've got one that's better, you said you've taken it before. Did you feel the same thing with the other methylene blue?
No, with other ones I've tried, I didn't have a perceptible difference. Yeah, didn't notice anything.
Well, I got to tell you, Bigly, I said, go find me the best. They said, this place doesn't sell it to people. They sell it for medical dyes for arteries instead of like iodine, radioactive iodine. They use this for tracking blood clots or something. And I said, okay, great. So you got to deal with them? I said, well, let me get it. And I'd taken a bunch of different brands before. It didn't really do much. I was like, brrr, when I did it. And I was like, so they hit a home run with this. So you're saying you've taken, we didn't talk about this beforehand. We just asked you. You've taken others before, though, did not feel like this.
Yeah, that's true. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it.
And yeah, my understanding, you mentioned this, methylene blues, they're not all created equal. Some, I believe, are like a fish aquarium grade.
Yeah.
But they sell it to humans. So what you found, I'm stoked to really...
Look, I love Bigly. Their rule is go out and get the best. Most of our products are private label. It's already top rated. So I said, get the best methylene blue. So I think we've got the best. JP Sears didn't even know this backstory that you all know. You just saw what just happened to him. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I want to remind you, or actually probably tell you for the first time, there's a new InfoWars 1776 limited edition collection series of t-shirts and hats at thealexjonesstore.com. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, it's the Alex Jones 1776 limited edition collection. Tons of just absolutely awesome designs for the patriot in your life or yourself. Feel like treating yourself. We also have rolling sales, so different products will be on sale different days. Right now, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit Caps and Gummies, MK Ultra, and Atomic Defense are 40% off. You're getting 35% off Colostrum and Life Force, and 30% off the iodine tincture, methylene blue tincture, methylene red tincture, and creatine powder. So that's 30% off methylene blue, 35% off colostrum, 40% off Ultra DNA Revival, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And we still do have some of the Faraday bag bundles in stock. So those are selling out fast. Don't wait. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Get yourself a Faraday bag bundle and rest easy knowing that your belongings are shielded from electromagnetic rays. TheAlexJonesStore.com. It's the only way that we stay on air. So the latest is that the ceasefires have hit a dead end because Iran refuses to meet with American negotiators. One American pilot has been rescued. A second is being searched for. A Black Hawk helicopter has also been hit, apparently. And now a second Air Force combat plane has crashed in the Persian Gulf region on Friday. And the lone pilot was safely rescued, according to two U.S. officials who spoke on conditions of anonymity. An A-10 Warthog attack plane went down near the Strait of Hormuz the same time that an Air Force F-15E was shot down over Iran, the official said. In that incident, one crew member was rescued, and a search and rescue operators are looking for the second airman. Officials provided scant details about the A-10 crash, including how and where it happened. But that's an A-10, an F-15E, and reportedly a Black Hawk helicopter all down today, 2 days after Donald Trump gave a primetime nationwide address in which he said that the Iranian air defenses were thoroughly, completely, and totally destroyed. So, no, they're not, obviously. And, of course, that's not the only place that the Middle East war is heating up and not in a good way if you're, you know, not Iran. Let's go to clip number 13 here. This is footage showing an Iranian missile hit Tel Aviv last night. Absolutely no interceptor missiles were fired at this one. Let's go to clip number 13. So again, you know, the day before yesterday was the biggest bombardment of Tel Aviv, at least since the war began, and doesn't seem to be slowing down whatsoever. Again, it's hard to get video out of Israel, and there's just every day dozens of AI videos showing, you know, huge amounts of missiles falling. So far, I don't think I've shown you anything that isn't confirmed. Like in this whole, you know, more than a month at this point of war, which is just crazy. We've been at war for over a month at this point. Let's go to clip 28 here. This was posted saying, thanks to the tight Israeli censorship, we hardly ever get videos, but this was able to be smuggled out. Videos capture Iranian projectile falling in central Israel. So this was recorded last night and verified and confirmed by Al Jazeera. And you have multiple angles of this assault on central Tel Aviv.
You, Nifira!
So there you go. Strike after strike after strike. It's not going well. It's just not going well, I guess you can say. U.S. intelligence assesses Iran maintains significant missile launching capability, sources say. Roughly half of Iran's missile launchers are still intact, and thousands of one-way attack drones remain in Iran's arsenal despite daily poundings by U.S. and Israeli strikes against military targets over the past 5 weeks, according to recent UN U.S. intelligence assessments. Three sources familiar with the intel told CNN they're still very much poised to wreak absolute havoc throughout the entire region, one of the sources said of Iran. The U.S. intelligence assessment total may include launchers that are currently inaccessible, such as those buried underground by strikes but not destroyed. Thousands of Iranian drones still exist, roughly 50% of the country's drone capabilities, two of the sources said, the intelligence indicated. The intelligence compiled in recent days also shows a large percentage of Iran's coastal defense cruise missiles still intact, the sources say. Consistent with the U.S. not focusing its air campaign on coastal military assets, though they have been hitting ships. Those missiles serve as a key capability allowing Iran to threaten shipping traffic in the Strait of Hormuz. Again, this is the reality on the ground, even if those in power would rather you not know it. And it's really not going well for Israel. They are kind of getting their butts handed to them by Hezbollah and are now completely, changing their mind on what the ultimate goal of that is. Last week they were saying, we are going to annex all of South Lebanon and make it a security buffer zone. And now they're like, can we please go home now? Please, for the love of God, just let us go home and don't kill us. And I think that's a little too much to ask, frankly. Let's go to clip number 7 here. This is actually a IOF reservist. So this is the defense or the offensive forces of Lebanon, whatever. It's a corollary to the IDF, another military force there in Israel. Let's go to clip number 7. This is one of their reservists talking to a French reporter about his experience on the Lebanese frontier. Let's watch. He says, or the reporter says, with his face hidden for security reasons, this reservist agrees to speak with us. Just back from 2 weeks on the Lebanese front, he describes the exhaustion and hardships facing mobilized troops. But it's really tough, he says. You're exhausted. We pay a heavy price in our personal lives and, of course, on my body, on my mental health. Since the October 7th attacks, he served 350 days, a relentless pace that's become routine in the Israeli army. Imagine somebody taking a third or quarter of your time with your wife, kids, work, hobbies, whatever. We're drained. One solution, the government is considering recruiting ultra-Orthodox Jews into the army. Until now, they've been exempt from the military, basically saying that you'll see posters like this saying that everything must be done to prevent this, prevent the Orthodox from being used as soldiers. They say a pool of soldiers, basically they're saying they have to get them into compulsory service. They say compulsory service is not enough given the front we face today and will have to face in the future. The Israeli army currently needs 12,000 new soldiers. Without major changes, I see no other solution than to reduce our missions. Reservists don't work during their service days and are paid by the state. Their massive and continuous mobilization by the army in the coming months could also have a major impact on the country's economy. America pays for it. They pay for it with the money America gives them, but still. Again, just not going well. Just total collapse of morale and collapse of their very ambitious desires in South Lebanon. Israel scales back war aims from the Litani to just 3 kilometers and no longer seeking Hezbollah's disarmament. Israeli Army Radio reports that the military will present a plan this week to the political leadership aimed at the complete destruction of villages along the southern Lebanese border and the establishment of a security zone cleared of civilians with no return allowed for Lebanese residents of frontline towns. According to Israeli military officials, the entire area within 3 to 4 kilometers of the border will be transformed into a buffer zone reinforced by forward military positions. At the same time, the Israeli army now states that disarming Hezbollah is not among the objectives of the war. For over a year, Israeli leadership insisted Hezbollah had been crippled or effectively neutralized. Today, the goal of disarmament is no longer even pursued. The contradiction is unavoidable. If that objective had been dropped, it's because it was never achievable in the first place. What was once framed as an advance towards the Litani River has now been reduced to a narrow strip of 3 to 4 kilometers. If this trajectory continues, those goals will be shrinking until the reality becomes undeniable. Holding ground inside Lebanon is not sustainable, and imposing outcomes by force has clear limits. Regardless of these plans, the reality on the ground will not follow that script. The people of the South will return to their villages. Regardless of these plans, the reality on the ground will not follow that script. Repeats itself. A depopulated buffer zone is not something that can be imposed or sustained. It's something they will never be able to achieve. Well, hopefully. Hopefully they will not be able to achieve that. But of course, it's exactly what we said would happen last time that we were on with Lebanon John, who will be joining us in the third hour of today's program to talk about the latest developments, including what's happening in Lebanon and Iran, and a very interesting theory he has about the firing of the generals here in America that we'll get to in just a second. In fact, that's what our next story is about. From themirror.co.uk, 7 unhinged signs Donald Trump's White House is in meltdown and something huge is about to happen. So he's considering firing some of his most loyal sycophants. His Secretary of War is at war with the U.S. military, and Trump keeps boasting about committing war crimes in Iran. He's considering firing some of his most loyal sycophants. They say his administration is in meltdown again. There's also increasing evidence that Trump is planning to put boots on the ground in the Middle East this weekend. Things are moving fast. Here's all the unhinged moments from Trump's escalating meltdown. It all started with him sacking Pam Bondi on Wednesday before Trump was supposed to go in front of the cameras to deliver address to the nation with an update of the Iran war. He had a chat with Attorney General Pam Bondi, reportedly in the back of the Beast automobile, on his way to the White House from the Supreme Court. Bondi, who's been a loyal sycophant, but a pretty terrible AG, is ultimately the reason some of the Epstein files are in the public domain and the cause of many of Trump's most existential nightmares. Trump had promised to release the files if he returned to office, and early last year she arranged a stunt with a bunch of MAGA influencers who were handed big binders marked the Epstein files. Unfortunately, when the influencers started to read them, they noticed most, if not all, of the files were already in the public domain. And I guess on that note, we can go ahead and go to this video. Take a little sojourn, a little deviation away from the list of the Trump meltdowns to show a video of Thomas Massie talking about Pam Bondi being fired, his interpretation of how this all went down. Let's go to clip number one here. This is Thomas Massie on Pam Bondi, the Epstein files. Let's watch.
Are you confident you will see that?
I don't know if we're going to see it in this administration.
Why do you say that?
Because Pam Bondi has, you know, she's been so against this, I would say from the beginning. But in the beginning, I think she earnestly was ready to release files. And then I think she wasn't in on the joke when they gave her those binders that had nothing in it. Then she found out she looked like a joke and she shot off the angry letter to the FBI. But at some point, somebody got to Pam Bondi and said, it's your job to cover this.
So there you go. Pam Bondi. And I think there might be something there, because again, I mean, just going back and looking at how all of this unfolded, I mean, none of it really makes any sense. And it's especially weird being in this position now where you hear things like, you know, this Daily Mail article that's like Trump's administration's melting down again. And it's like, how many times have we heard this over the last 10 years? Every other time I've ever heard anything like this, you just kind of roll your eyes and you're like, okay, it's the liberal media trying to stir up drama where there isn't any. And it's just weird because like their coverage has remained the same, but now it's like, no, it's true though. But now it actually is true. Again, this isn't a change in my perspective. I can just tell you that previously they would be manufacturing scandals and coming up with stuff to try to cause trouble. But now, I mean, look around. Pam Bondi's being fired. Joe Kent resigned in protest. I mean, that in and of itself was a major deal. As this article notes, with its second point of the meltdown, Pete Hegseth just sacked the most senior army general in the middle of a war. And then he sacked two other very high-profile generals and then a whole bunch of other slightly lower underlings of theirs. Total massive shakeup, not something you do if things are going well. Susie Wiles, Trump's campaign manager and top assistant at the White House, gives an interview where she's saying that Trump is being, you know, kept from damning information, and you know, these people advising him are only presenting him the rose-colored view of reality. I mean, that's a big deal. You've got the head person at the White House going to the media and telling them that Trump is being lied to and presented a false image of this war. I mean, this is the meltdown. And again, it's crazy to go through 10 years of the left talking about Trump in the craziest way possible. Because I got to figure out how to say this. It makes sense to me. So none of this is all that complicated. But it's hard to even explain. It's like right now, it seems like Trump is on a very dangerous path. And it's almost to the point that I'm like, I'm not at that point yet, because it's just too dangerous of a precedent. But you look back at General Mattis or whoever, was it Mattis or the other guy? It was the other guy saying, you know, we need to take these nuclear codes away from Trump. And it's like, okay, that was treasonous. I just was like, go off on that endlessly, because it obviously wasn't true then. But like now, I don't know. If Trump feels cornered and gives an order to drop a nuke on Tehran, I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility at this point. So it's like, things have changed. It's not like you go back and go, so he was right the whole time. It's like, no, they were treasonous. They're absolutely not. it was not right what they did to Trump, and it's not right when they were talking about 25th Amendmenting him because he, you know, asked Ukraine to look into corruption or whatever nonsense they would get into. But it's like he has become the parody. He has become the person that they always said he was. And that is the craziest part of all of this, is that he wasn't for his entire presidential political career. He was never the warmonger. He was never the unhinged person. They always portrayed it as that. It was just never true. You could always see what he was really doing. You could always, if you just looked at what he was saying, it was very clear, you know, that what they were saying was lies. Now I look at it, and it's like they're saying the same thing, but now it actually is true. And so it's just a weird feeling. It's just a kind of bizarre. And again, it's not, I'm not going back going, oh man, I was fooled back then. He was like this the whole time. He wasn't like this. This wasn't the way things were. His White House was not in meltdown and chaos, like, you know, free fall. It is now. It is. It absolutely is. In fact, as of today, Trump's approval rating has flipped and gone up, upside down, underwater with working class white voters for the first time ever, ever since he came on the political scene. Since he came down that golden escalator in 2015, he has always had an above average, a positive approval rating with white working class voters. Today, for the first time, that's flipped. Okay, something has gone wrong. His chief of staff is giving these interviews. Something has gone wrong. They're firing the top generals. Something has gone terribly wrong here. Okay. So it's just, it feels weird to be like reading these articles that leftists have been writing for 10 years. But now it's like, well, now they're right. It sucks. But Trump has made them correct, unfortunately. Okay. So you've got, he's fired Pam Bondi. Pete Hegseth sacks all these generals. What does it all mean, they ask. We can only speculate on the reason for this unprecedented purge at the top of the army, but here are some facts that may have played a role. The chief of staff would ultimately be responsible for any infantry boots on the ground in Iran. Thousands of army soldiers, notably the 82nd Airborne Division, have been deployed to the Middle East and are expected to arrive about now. If the mission requires any non-standard operations, such as, say, the rapid evacuation of nuclear sites, the viability of that would have to be signed off by the chief of transition and training. The chief of chaplains is the senior army advisor for the ethical and spiritual impact of warfare, particularly on the rules of engagement. Trump keeps bragging about targeting civilian infrastructure in Iran. More on this later. Trump historically has always commenced and announced major military operations over the weekend while the markets are closed, and today is Friday. So add all these things up, and if one were to speculate, it seems to be a reasonable supposition that Hegseth gave an order on Thursday that one or more of the generals took issue with. The theory is given further weight by Hegseth replacing the chief of staff with General Christopher Leneve, a loyalist who was handpicked and fast-tracked to the deputy role after serving as Hegseth's senior military assistant. A Pentagon spokesperson last night said Leneve was, quote, completely trusted by Secretary Hegseth to carry out the vision of the administration without fault. Okay, so number four, the then rumors started swirling of a wider and more brutal reshuffle as the dust settled from Bondi's ouster and the sacking of the top of the army. This is unsurprising for reasons we've covered already. Trump's poll ratings are a dumpster fire. He is the most unpopular president of all time, and his already terrible approval rating has taken another even more humiliating nosedive since the start of the war. So the talk of the town is that he's about ready to clear house, taking down some or all of the people he blames for his woes. He's very angry, and he's going to be moving people, a source told Politico last night. And of course, top of the list, Tulsi Gabbard, the person who tried to get him to avoid this fate the entire time. The one person who kept putting her career on the line to very tactfully and respectfully contradict the things Trump was saying, tell the truth about the intelligence they had about the nuclear bomb in Iran, and contrary to the lies he was being told by Mossad and whatever Israeli handler was whispering in his ear like worm tongue, Tulsi Gabbard is the one who should have been listened to the entire time, and he would have never been in this mess. Instead, he is blaming her somehow for what happened here. Tulsi Gabbard, director of national intelligence, he's reportedly mad at her for failing to condemn Joe Kent, the former counterterror officer who very publicly tore Trump's rationale for war with Iran into pieces last month. Yeah, I mean, if Trump was serious about saving the country, if he wanted to save the midterms, not let the Democrats come in, then he would be begging Joe Kent to come take a like cabinet position. And he'd be putting Tulsi Gabbard out in the forefront to tell him how to fix this. But he listened to people who got him into this problem, and now he's listening to those very same people for how to solve it, and he's firing the people that tried to get him to avoid it in the first place. But in addition to that, we do have some swamp creatures. We do have some Epstein associates on the list. Howard Lutnick, Commerce Secretary, Trump's toadiest flunky. But his big shot at bathing in the warm glow of the president's approval was the tariff strategy, which he was heavily involved in. The Supreme Court ruling last month means those days are over. Of course, he made a lot of money with it. Lori Chavez de Remer, Secretary of Labor, job numbers have been tanking even after Trump seized control of the Stats Bureau in order to rig them. Cash Patel, director of the FBI, they say just pick one. Just pick a reason to fire Cash. There's plenty. Number six, they say Trump keeps bragging about committing war crimes. Trump keeps posting on Truth Social, bragging about targeting civilian infrastructure in the Iran conflict. Most recently, he posted, our military, the greatest and most powerful by far anywhere in the world, hasn't even started destroying what's left in Iran. Bridges next, then electrical power plants. New regime leadership knows what has to be done. It has to be done fast. We'll get into the Iranian response to that on the other side. But they are war crimes, and we are targeting civilian infrastructure. And the ultimate upshot of this will be that we are setting a precedent that we will come to regret, that we will rue one day, that will cause blowback attacks to hit us. I explained this a lot yesterday. I don't need to go into it again, but the idea that when we bomb their hospitals sort of opens up the door for them bombing ours. And while we would, if all of the sudden, you know, the Mayo Clinic was bombed by a, you know, tactical nuke smuggled in a suitcase or something, we would feel outraged and horrified and shocked, and it would be traumatic and devastating, and it would probably cause a lot of people to start to support the war. But we would feel outraged and again, just horrified and victimized. And how do you think they feel? Like, how do you think Iran feels? We're bombing their hospitals. I have the feeling that they're all saying they're going, we should bomb their hospitals if it's going to be like this. And the only reason they're not is because they know the American public is against the war. But we're getting set up here. We're getting set up. We are the ones who will experience the blowback. They're bombing hospitals and elementary schools in our name, and we are not stopping them from doing it. So Iran would be justified.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial. That means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now, thealexostore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the info war this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over bought anything, thealexostore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.